Hello there, I'm Rob, a producer on the Black Country Talking News, and this week's edition is for the 8th of December 2021.
Hello, and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by Sightloss charity Beacon Centre. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. All you need to do is say, "Alexa, play Black Country Talking News." Our Talking News service is also available via the following methods: calling 01902 213 210, visiting our website www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast on the Black Country Radio website, on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by simply searching Beacon Black Country Talking News and hitting the subscribe button, and on your mobile or tablet device by downloading the free British Wireless for the Blind Talking News application from your App Store. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Thank you, Simon. Speaking for us this week, we have myself, Rob, Mina, Craig, Helen, Angela, Christine, Ed, Liz, Ian, Jeff, and of course, Flashback Roger. In this week's edition, we have an update from Beacon, some local news from the Black Country. We have the quiz with Mina, news from West Bromwich Albion and Wolves, a Did You Know section from Flashback Roger, the weather, information about a volunteering opportunity, a 10-day workout, Mina's Christmas cracker, and rounding all that off with a piece from Craig covering a plethora of facts about Dudley. We start this week, as always, with our Guess the Sound question. I'm going to play a sound clip, and all you have to do is simply guess what it is. So, here's this week's clip. Have a think on that, and Mina will reveal the answer later, alongside the usual quiz answers. We start as always then, with some local news, brought to us by Angela, Ed, Liz, Christine, and first up, it's Ian.
Dudley is hoping to make it fourth time lucky this week as it submits its bid to become a city. It is seen as one of the favourites to become a city as part of national celebrations to mark the Queen's Platinum Jubilee next year. The deadline for entries comes on Wednesday and it has the whole borough behind it, unlike rivals like Wrexham, where a protest was held at the weekend from people in the town opposed to the bid. Dudley, with a population of more than 300,000, is bigger than many cities. It faces opposition in England from the likes of Reading, Milton Keynes and Middlesbrough. If successful, it would become the second city in the Black Country, following Wolverhampton, which won its enhanced status in 2000. The Mayor of the West Midlands, Andy Street, threw his backing behind Dudley's bid for city status. He said success would benefit not only Dudley, but the whole of the Black Country. The borough would become the fourth city in the West Midlands combined authority area, along with Wolverhampton, Birmingham and Coventry. Judges say they will look at civic pride, heritage and innovation. Dudley's proud industrial past is cemented by the successful Black Country Museum. Leaders recently heralded the opening of a new £32.5 million technology centre, and there are plans for a new university-style campus led by Dudley College. The Midlands Metro extension will improve public transport in the town, and there is a thriving tourism industry with a museum, Dudley Zoo and limestone caverns all in easy reach. Mr. Street said it may not have a cathedral, but what Dudley does possess is a wonderful castle and of course a history to be incredibly proud of as one of the founding places in the Industrial Revolution. It also has a bigger population than big cities like Newcastle, a geopark, a wonderful museum and most importantly a vibrant economic future based on the investment that is currently being made.
Train passengers in the West Midlands have been warned to expect short-notice cancellations to continue over the Christmas period. West Midlands Railway has been struggling with a driver shortage for months and is urging passengers to check their journeys carefully this month ahead of a new timetable being introduced ahead of the festive season. Departure times on some of the company's routes will change from Sunday, December the 12th. With trains expected to be busy in the run-up to Christmas, passengers are advised to check their travel plans. The operator is also reminding passengers that some services may be cancelled at short notice due to ongoing staffing shortages caused by the impact of the pandemic on its driver training programmes, along with a recent increase in COVID-19 related absences. Johnny Wiseman, WMR Customer Experience Director, said, "Over recent months, we have been delighted to welcome more passengers back to the railway following the easing of coronavirus restrictions. With timetables changing next week and the impact of COVID-19 creating the possibility of cancellations due to driver shortages, I'm urging passengers to check their journeys before setting out to the station and to avoid relying on the last train home wherever possible. We do all we can to avoid cancellations, but where we have no choice, we always have to look to give passengers as much notice as possible and arrange alternative transport wherever possible. I would like to thank our passengers for their understanding as we continue to work our way through our driver training backlog. Passengers are also being reminded it is once again mandatory to wear a face covering when on board public transport, and fines for non-compliance may apply."
Face-to-face Dudley Council Plus services have been axed at two libraries in Dudley due to a drop in people using them, council chiefs have said. The council service, a one-stop shop for people needing to access authority services, has been run at four sites across the borough. But bosses have revealed the services at Stourbridge and Briley Hill libraries have now been axed as they cited a lack of space and drop in use. And cash will be banned at the other sites in Castle Street in Dudley and at Hales Owen Library. Dudley Council said there had been a drop in people using the in-person services from 10% pre-COVID-19 to 2% amid the pandemic. And only 4% of residents are choosing to pay with cash, which they have been unable to do at the centres since the pandemic started. Chief said residents have not asked for this option to be reinstated and that more and more people were using online or phone service options. Councillor Sean Keezy, Cabinet Member for Digital, Customer and Commercial Services, said, "We've seen a significant drop in face-to-face customer contacts across all our sites over the last few years, with only 2% of contacts being face-to-face over the last 18 months, which is why we've taken the decision to focus our walk-ins to where they are most used, Dudley and Hales Owen. The majority of our customers are using self-serve methods online to report and resolve issues and are also using online facilities to make payments, meaning the cash kiosks have been out of use since March last year. People who want to pay in cash can continue to do so at a location more convenient and closer to them wherever they see the pay zone or pay point sign. By focusing on our online and telephone services, we can be much more efficient in dealing with customers and provide a service which fits in around them."
A senior councillor has pledged that shutting down a town's police station will not result in less bobbies on the street. Wensfield is to lose its police station by 2025 after the force's latest mass closure plan was rubber-stamped by Labour Police and Crime Commissioner Simon Foster. Wolverhampton councillor Bupinder Gakal, who represents Wensfield South, insists there was no option but to shut down the police station due to government funding cuts. In a bid to reassure residents, he said the move would not see a reduction of police officers in that area. The Labour councillor, who sits on Mr Foster's strategic policing board, said the police have closed reception desks and now obviously stations are closing. It is obviously down to government funding. "No one wants to see a police station close, but because of cuts to funding, the police have no option. However, I can assure people that this will not mean that there will be less police. We are still going to have the neighbourhood police presence in Wensfield." Mr Gakal said that under the plans, neighbourhood teams will move into other sites, which could include fire authority or local council buildings. "It's something that is open for discussion at the moment," he said. "The station is not closing for a while yet, and by the time it does close, neighbourhood officers will be located somewhere else within Wensfield." Wolverhampton North East MP Jane Stevenson, who campaigned to save the station, said the closure was a real blow for the community. She's seeking a meeting with Mr. Foster to urge him to reconsider or to agree to open a smaller station on Wensfield High Street. By signing off the closures of more than 20 police stations and bases, Mr. Foster has followed in the footsteps of his predecessor, David Jameson, who shut down dozens of sites between 2014 and 2021.
A travel agent has been jailed for 4 years after holidaymakers were left almost £66,000 out of pocket for trips that failed to materialise. Anthony Taylor, 57, who spent some of the money on luxury hotels and goods, was also banned from being a company director. He previously admitted an offence each of fraudulent trading, unfairly offering package holidays without security, and engaging in unfair trading relating to holidays and outings to the tune of £65,985. The defendants, Bilston-based TT Tours, ceased trading in February last year, leaving hundreds of mainly elderly customers stranded when the coaches failed to turn up to collect them for a break to Torquay, Devon. Around 300 victims, including pensioners' clubs, lost their money. Sentencing him at Wolverhampton Crown Court, Judge Mr. Recorder Mark Brown told Taylor of Willenhall, "In all, the fraud was a prolonged and despicable deception. You raised people's hopes, ultimately leaving them out of pocket." The judge said Taylor, who has previous convictions for fraud and theft, had managed the company in a woeful manner, without a business account and no record of transactions. Taylor, who had gambling issues, had convictions dating to the 1980s, including 5 for obtaining property by deception in 1995, 16 for theft, fraud, making false representation in 2007, relating to £12,000 stolen from an employer, which he spent on gambling, resulting in him being jailed for 12 months. He was also convicted for shoplifting in 2018. Mr. Charles Crinion, mitigating, said, "He fully understands the seriousness of the situation and the impact it has had on so many people. He understands that it will be a prison sentence." For fraudulent trading, Taylor of Mount Road, Portobello, Willenhall, was jailed for 4 years. He must serve half before being released on licence. He was also disqualified from being a company director for 10 years for his actions.
Now it's time to hand over to Helen, who has for us this week's Beacon Update.
Hi everyone, it's Helen from Beacon. How's your week been? Well, I've finally had my first cold post-lockdown. Thankfully, it's not COVID, but it certainly has knocked me off my feet. And talking about feet, more than 100 people put their best foot forward to support Beacon at our annual Santa Run last weekend. We'd like to thank all our fantastic runners who came together for a fabulous morning at West Park in Wolverhampton. And we'd like to say a special thanks to the wonderful Wolverhampton Mayor, the Park Run volunteers and City Fibre for all their amazing support. Our adult winner of the race was Harry Cresswell, who received his finishing medal from the Mayor himself. Our child winner was Dominic, and our perfect doggy winner was Teddy, who took part with his owner Tilly. Now, if you really meant to join in with our Santa Run but thought it was a bit freezing, or maybe you started to get in the festive spirit a bit earlier than anticipated, well, we get it. But Santa's asked us to let you know that you're all on his naughty list. Don't worry though, you can still redeem yourself. We can help you get yourself back on the nice list. All you need to do is donate just £5 to Beacon by texting naughty to 70085. Simple. That's naughty to 70085. Texts cost £5 plus one standard rate message. And remember, if everyone in our local community donated £5, we'd raise enough money to run our centre for a whole year. Now, have you started your Christmas shopping yet? Maybe you're searching for an extra special gift with a personal touch, or a beautiful Christmas decoration that'll look great in your home and on your social media. Well, our incredible Fab Lab have created a gorgeous festive range of handcrafted personalised products available now from Made by FabLab on Etsy. Whether it's a perfect bauble for your pooch or a tree featuring the name of your loved ones, we've got plenty on offer. And the best bit is every sale is donated to Beacon, meaning you'll be helping to make a difference to people living with sight loss. Head to our Etsy store, www.etsy.com/madebyfablab to shop, or you can also give us a ring on 01902 880111 to find out more. Of course, you can also pick up some festive bargains from our 7 shops across the region. But from December the 6th, our Wolverhampton Clearance Centre will have new opening hours. We'll still be offering the same great bargains on homeware, furniture and clothes though, so why not come and pay us a visit? You can find us on Lower Walsall Street, just outside Wolverhampton City Centre. And with our new hours, we'll be open Monday to Saturdays, 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. and we'll be closed on Sundays. You can find out when our other shops are open on our website, www.beaconvision.org/shops. That's it for this week. Hopefully, I'll be back to speak to you all again soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for that update, Helen. Now we head into our next block of local news. And starting this one off, we hear first from Liz.
More than 100 Santas braved the cold to take part in the Wolverhampton Santa Run. The event at West Park was organised by the Beacon Centre for the Blind. As well as the human runners, there were several Santa Paws, with people dressing up their dogs as Father Christmas. The Mayor of Wolverhampton, Councillor Greg Brackenbridge, got proceedings underway as he officially started the race at 9:45 a.m. on Sunday. The popular run was back after being cancelled last year due to the pandemic. Beacon Centre Income Generation Director Stella Pitt said, "We have been so looking forward to this year's Santa Run after we were unable to go ahead in 2020 due to COVID-19. It's an event that kickstarts the festive season for us here at Beacon and many of the participants as well. We'd like to thank everyone who came along to show their support for people with sight loss." She added, "We are really grateful to all the Park Run volunteers, Mayor of Wolverhampton and City Fibre, who sponsored the finish line, for their support." West Bromwich Albion fan Scott Cheesewright had a great time running through West Park in his Santa outfit. He said, "Martha, the Queen of Warm-ups, was great. It was a great event and I really enjoyed it. There was a good turnout." Jake Smith brought his dog along for all the fun. He said, "I'm doing this because I used to go to the Beacon Centre myself, and I'm doing this for my cousin who has sight loss, as well as others who are affected by this." Beacon Centre for the Blind has been helping people with sight loss for 145 years and is hoping to raise much needed funds this festive period. Miss Pitt added, "We are also running its popular Christmas raffle and will be serving up its community Christmas meals during December, and we have a great range of Christmas gifts and decorations available."
MPs in the Black Country have backed plans to pursue city status for Dudley Borough ahead of the bid being formally submitted. Marco Lunghi, Dudley North MP, said, "Dudley is in the middle of a £1 billion regeneration programme which is set to transform the town and wider borough. It includes the very light rail innovation at Castle Hill, the new higher education and skills investment into the town, and the new leisure centre, to name a few. This is making a lot of noise nationally, and it is essential we continue that upward trajectory, levelling up across the region, and city status will only help bring further inward investment opportunities to Dudley. Wolverhampton became a Millennium City in 2000, which has helped transform the fortunes of the area, with parts undergoing significant regeneration. Dudley is now hoping to follow in the footsteps of its near neighbour by being granted the same honour next year." Mike Wood, MP for Dudley South, added, "City status will help Dudley Borough to compete better on an international level for the investment to transform opportunities locally. We've got a bright future with new infrastructure like the Midland Metro extension to Brierley Hill on its way, and best-in-class education and training colleges like Resonance Music Academy and the Institute of Technology. City status will help us to make it even brighter. Suzanne Webb, Stourbridge MP, said, "City status for the borough would be a fitting endorsement of this wonderful place, its history and its vibrancy, and above all, the sense of community that prevails in the streets. There is so much here that lends itself to city status, from cultural and educational opportunities to industry and innovation excellence. I hope everyone in Stourbridge and beyond gets behind this bid."
Wolverhampton Council leader Ian Brookfield has written an open letter urging bosses to help a city's lost generation by backing the £3 million Wolves in Work scheme. The city has the highest proportion of unemployed 18 to 24-year-olds in the country, a trend also mirrored in other Black Country boroughs. More than 2,600 are not in jobs, education or training. Councillor Brookfield called for a One City coalition of support from the council, employers and trainers to come up with ideas to tackle the crisis. He said there was a need for urgent intervention and action. He said, "I truly believe that this is a city that leaves no one behind, but to shift that dial, we need disruptive thinking. We need to shake things up, because all our best efforts to date have not been enough, which is why we need to come together as one city, as we've done throughout the pandemic, and we need to act because time is running out. We risk presiding over a lost generation, and we cannot keep kicking the can down the road." Wolverhampton South East MP Pat McFadden, the Shadow Chief Secretary to the Treasury, has urged businesses to get behind the scheme. He said, "In Wolverhampton, we have had unemployment rates consistently higher than the national average for many years now. Wolves at Work does a really good job of helping people into work. I'm really pleased that the City Council is making this a big priority and putting a concerted effort into getting our unemployment rate down. Having a job is not just about boosting your income. It's also about a sense of purpose and hopefully a path to progress in the future."
An MP has hit out at brain-dead vandals who attempted to leave an anti-Tory placard outside his office. Marco Longhi said he arrived at the Dudley office on Saturday morning to find a placard saying, "Tory refugee policies kill," fixed to the door of a charity's office above his. The Conservative MP said the attack had caused further distress to staff who were already concerned for their safety following the killing of Sir David Amess, MP, last month. Mr. Longhi said, "Finding this placard affixed to the cancer charity door, looking at the way it's been designed and the effort some people must have gone to preparing it, just shows how insensitive, small-minded and stupid they are. Maybe they also have a sick sense of humour. Sir David Amess' office door is the first door I see when I enter my office block in London. This is repulsive behaviour from people who must be brain dead. Aside from the additional distress it caused my staff, just imagine the upset this could be causing staff at the charity." He added, "I have been persistent and resolute in pressing government at all levels, from day one of my election, to stop the illegal crossings and to prevent people from taking these perilous journeys while at the mercy of illegal people traffickers. People who want to come to the UK should apply via the legal and safe routes that are available." Mr. Longhi said he had beefed up security arrangements at his office since the killing of Southend West MP Sir David Amess.
A city heroine who risked her own life to protect children from a machete-wielding attacker may be set to have another honour bestowed on her. Councillors in Wolverhampton will be asked to consider bestowing the honour of Freedom of the City to Lisa Webb, née Potts, in recognition of her exceptional bravery and charity work. Lisa, a former nursery teacher, was proclaimed as a heroine in 1996 when she protected children in her care from a machete-wielding attacker who burst into St Luke's CE Infant School in Blakenhall. Aged just 21 at the time, she suffered severe injuries to her head, back and both arms as she prevented the attacker from reaching the children she was shielding. Her bravery was acknowledged by Her Majesty the Queen, who awarded Lisa the George Medal. Since the attack, Lisa has carried out considerable charity work and founded the charity Believe to Achieve in 2001, which aims to encourage independence and increase self-esteem in children. On Friday, December 19th, members of Wolverhampton Council's Governance and Ethics Committee will be asked to recommend that the authority convenes an extraordinary meeting of the full council to bestow freedom of the city to Lisa. It comes after a nomination to honour her was received by the council and is supported by the Mayor, Councillor Greg Brackenridge, Leader of the Council, Councillor Ian Brookfield, and Leader of the Opposition, Councillor Wendy Thompson. If the committee approves the recommendation, an extraordinary meeting of the full council will be convened in the new year to formally confer the honour, and a celebration event will also be held. Freedom of the city is the highest honour the council can bestow upon any individual and is only awarded to persons of distinction and those who have rendered eminent services to the city.
It's time next to give our brains a workout, as we have Mina with this week's quiz questions.
Hello and welcome to this week's Flashback Quiz. All the answers you need can be found later in Flashback Rogers' Did You Know feature. But for now, here are your questions. Are you ready? Question 1. Which country recognised Christmas for the first time in 2003? Question 2. What unusual animal is made in Sweden to guard the Christmas tree? Question 3. How can you get rid of malicious Greek goblins? Question 4. What is given to naughty children at Christmas by St. Nicholas? Question 5. When was the familiar image of Santa Claus created? And finally, question 6. Where in the world do they eat deep-fried caterpillar at Christmas? As always, I'll be back to reveal the answers later in the show. But for now, good luck.
Thank you for those, Mina. I'll give those a ponder. Now we head into another block of local news. And starting this one, we hear from Ed.
One of Dudley's best-known traditional real ale pubs is up for sale, and there has already been interest from potential buyers. Briley Hill-based Batham's Brewery is selling the Lamp Tavern at the junction of High Street and Blowers Green Road. The freehold is on the market with Matthew Phillips Surveyors in Streatley for £650,000. There is also an option to lease the Lamp Tavern at an annual rent of £45,000. The Lamp has a large front bar and a rear lounge with a dining area. The 0.8-acre site also has a former brewery and a 37-space car park. It also has an outside patio area and a children's play area. The old Queen's Cross Brewery on the site is now used as a function room, and the brewery's former boardroom is also available for events. The function room has been regularly used for music and comedy nights. There is also the Lamp Cottage, which offers a separate block of 5 bed and breakfast rooms. The pub and brewery dates from 1873. The Queen's Cross Brewery was sold to H&B Woodhouse in 1917 and eventually closed in 1934. Batham's then bought the site in October 1950. It is locally listed, but not in the conservation area.
The Black Country has secured a £1 million investment from Arts Council England for arts projects across the region. Creative Black Country received the grant for projects from April 2022 to March 2025, thanks to money generated by the National Lottery. A spokesman for Creative Black Country said, "We're delighted with the news that Creative Black Country has been successful in becoming a Creative People and Places National Portfolio 22-25 programme. Creative Black Country work with communities in Dudley, Sandwell, Walsall and Wolverhampton to explore and develop new creative projects with local people in the places where they live. This investment will build on our learning from the past 7 years for a new phase of work, making the most of local talent and working with people to discover, explore and grow an exciting, meaningful and accessible programme of arts activity across the Black Country. The grant is part of a £38.3 million investment into grassroots projects as part of Arts Council England's Creative People and Places initiative, which has been running since 2012. So far, over 7.4 million people have engaged with the project, 83% of which involving people who do not regularly engage with the arts.
The shutters have closed for the final time at a record shop which has been in Wolverhampton since the 60s. Oldies Unlimited has provided the people of Wolverhampton a place to buy good quality records and has received visits from a host of big names over the years. Members of the Specials, Ranking Roger and Terry Hall, both visited the store, and Roy Chubby Brown has often stopped by when playing in the area. Simon Malpas, owner of Oldies Unlimited, has a lot of good feelings about the shop and hopes he has done his level best for customers over the years as he takes the business online and to record fairs. He said, "I hope our customers who have supported us through goodness knows what will realise there are too many shops that for one reason or another are closing. We started in the late 50s, early 60s over in Brighton. The chap who run it originally would take the week's records, which were dumped by stores like Woolworths, and sell them. Although there will no longer be a shop, Simon is not disappearing completely and will be at the Gifford Arms next Saturday from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. selling records." Simon added, "If anyone wants to come and say hello, I would be very pleased to see them. It has always been my dream to sell records, and if I can continue to sell some stuff, then I will do it."
A woman has been thanked by police for reporting an incident in which an elderly man was shouted at and pushed at a railway station. West Midlands Police have thanked the woman, who had taken to social media to share her concerns after seeing the incident at Stourbridge Junction on Sunday, November the 28th, just after 9 p.m. The message from the woman spoke of being upset after seeing an elderly man being shouted at and pushed by a younger man, and she was so concerned about what she'd seen that she reported the matter to the police. West Midlands Police have since confirmed they looked into the incident and thanked the woman for getting in touch with her concerns about the incident. A spokesman for the force said, "We went to check up on a man after someone called us to tell us that they'd seen him being shouted at and pushed. This happened at Stourbridge Junction railway station on Sunday, November the 28th. British Transport Police and our officers spoke to the people involved separately. After finding out exactly what happened and that the man was safe, no further action was taken and there is no active investigation. The person who contacted us did the right thing and we'd like to thank them for getting in touch."
Plans for a 366-home canal side development in one of Wolverhampton's most deprived areas have been given the final go-ahead. Derelict former industrial land along Wolverhampton's canal side is to be used for 1,200 luxury new homes overall, with £65 million plans for the first phase of new residences confirmed this week. The site at Lower Horsley Fields will form part of the new Canalside South project, restoring a series of empty factory units where the Worley and Essington Canal meets the Birmingham Canal Navigation's main line. Stretching over 5 acres of brownfield land just outside the city centre, the new properties will consist of a mix of townhouses and apartments. The application has been made by Manchester-based Place First, one of the UK's leading build-to-rent property developers. Councillor Steve Simpkins, Deputy Leader of the Council and Cabinet Member for City Economy, said the full planning permission and listed building consent now gives Place First the green light to get this transformational scheme in Wolverhampton off the ground next year. They will deliver a nationally significant development that not only brings back into use a large parcel of brownfield land, but also enables the city to take advantage of our fantastic waterways. There is also the heritage that comes with it, to provide a sustainable community where people want to live and work, now and in the future. The Place First scheme will also generate around 150 jobs and boost our economic recovery from COVID-19. Urban living forms a critical part of how we are reimagining our city centre and will help us meet the increasing demand for housing, he added. Canal Side is a large and exciting opportunity, and the council is working hard with its partners to provide the determined and skillful leadership needed to realise opportunities like this.
Now we hear from our site loss advisor, Mina, who has for us an opportunity to volunteer at the Beacon Centre.
Hello, my name's Mina, and I work for the Beacon Befriending Programme. Would you like to volunteer for Beacon? Due to high demand of people asking for telephone befriending, Beacon are looking for new volunteers to join the befriending programme. Your role would be to contact lonely, isolated people in the community, offer them a friendly listening ear, have a chat and help reduce their isolation. If you can spare as little as 30 minutes a week to befriend someone in need, please give us a call on 01902 880 111. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Mina. Now we have our final block of local news for this edition. And up first, it's Angela.
Wolves became new record breakers this week when they opened their doors for a new music night to celebrate the launch of their record label. The live music night, Louder, featured the region's hottest up-and-coming artists and DJs, with the hope of them being taken on as new signings. Molyneux's North Bank Bar was buzzing with energy as artists such as Jazzy Martian, Ella Moore and Jerob took to the stage. One of these acts was Empress Linoleum, like the floor, she added, before launching into an energetic set. Otherwise known as Lily Pearson, the 24-year-old singer stumbled across the opportunity by complete luck. It was all a coincidence, she said. I went into a clothes store in Moseley and told the guys there that I'm into music, and they passed my name along to Wolves Records. It's so important because so many people are trying to get heard. With social media, so many people are making music, it's so hard to get out there and get noticed. The night celebrated the launch of Wolves Records after the football team joined forces with Warner Music UK to create the label. Since the successful launch, over 1,400 music submissions have been made to wolvesrecord.com, with a selection of the acts chosen to perform at the Louder event. Russell Jones, General Manager of Marketing and Commercial Growth at the Wolves, said, "We set this up because we wanted to do two things, to give local talent a platform and to restore the music scene in the city. Every city has an abundance of talent and we can give our acts the platform of 30 million people who follow the Wolves. Now, the club hopes to roll out more music evenings, showcasing even more local talent and giving back to the community."
Mad O'Rourke's Pie Factory has unveiled its 2021 Santa Pie. Billed as a Christmas dinner with all the trimmings in a pie with pastry antlers, the Santa Pie has been a popular part of Christmas for more than 30 years now. Manager Andrea Jones said, "Our Santa Pies are a real tradition around here. They always prove popular with everyone. Our Santa Pies this year include turkey, roast potatoes, new potatoes, pigs in blankets, gravy, sprouts, stuffing, and all in a pie with pastry antlers. As well as the Santa Pie, the Tipton restaurant will have festive menus available on Fridays and Saturdays throughout December." Andrea added, "All the staff will be putting on our Christmas jumpers to give the place an extra festive feel. And we'd also like to thank all of our customers who have ensured we have been packed since the lockdowns ended."
Poets, comedians, artists and authors from across the world will be bringing their talents to a popular city literature festival. The Wolverhampton Literature Festival will be returning to venues across the city for the sixth time, with a stellar lineup and a wide variety of shows announced to take place in February next year. This year's lineup includes Phil Wang, one of the UK's most exciting stand-up comedians, with a CV including BBC's Live at the Apollo, Have I Got News for You, QI, and Taskmaster. He will be looking at his life as a mixed race man, sharing British and Malaysian heritage and bringing his trademark cynicism and wit to topics ranging from family, food and comedy to race, empire and colonialism. Other headliners at the festival will include Wolverhampton University alumni Abby Doray, who will talk about her New York Times best-selling novel, The Girl with the Louding Voice, the story of a Nigerian girl who longs for an education. There will also be an appearance by acting deputy editor of Harper's Bazaar, Helena Lee, who will be talking about her upcoming publication of East Side Voices, exploring the experiences from the East and Southeast Asian diaspora living in Britain today. Wolverhampton Council Deputy Leader and Cabinet Member for City Economy, Councillor Stephen Simpkins, said, "The festival is a huge success and a major part of our events programme in the city. In 2021, we reached an international audience and hope to reach them again with the exciting programme we have planned for 2022. The festival gives talented people from across Wolverhampton and the West Midlands a platform to showcase their talents, speak about things close to their heart, and break down some of the barriers we face in today's world." To find out more and to book tickets, go to wharvesliteraturefestival.co.uk.
Dudley Market will take on a medieval theme this weekend, thanks to a joint event between Tudor Markets and Dudley Council. The two-day event on Saturday, December the 11th and Sunday, December the 12th will see Dudley's regular market traders joined by a host of medieval-themed entertainers. Shoppers will be entertained by knights in armour, juggling and fire-eating jesters, and a medieval doctor touting authentic medieval remedies. The entertainment will run at various times over the two-day event, with the chance to witness up-close demonstrations of weaponry and armour, medieval medicine and joking jesters. Some additional traditional market traders are expected to join the popular regulars on Saturday, while a car boot sale will run on Sunday. Councillor Simon Phipps, Dudley's Cabinet Member for Regeneration and Enterprise, said, "We're really pleased to be working with Tudor to provide this unique two-day event. It's important that we support our town centre businesses and market traders, and we hope this medieval spectacular will prove a real draw for shoppers and families. The entertainment varies every day, so it's definitely worth coming into town on both days. We hope that people will support the event and their local businesses and traders." Scott Simpson of Tudor Market said, "We are excited for people to come to the medieval market. Dudley has a wealth of history, and what better to experience it than up and close. We hope people come and enjoy the range of entertainment while supporting the traders and the town." Entertainment will take place from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, December the 11th, and 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Sunday, December the 12th.
Now it's time to hear from our fount of knowledge. Of course, I'm talking about our Flashback Roger and his Did You Know feature.
Hello everyone. I hope you're all okay and keeping well on the run-up to Christmas. I've been reading about Christmas traditions and found some different ones from around the world, so I'll share them with you today as they're very unusual to say the least. So here we go. Now, did you know that? In January 2003, after a decree of authorization by President Mubarak of Egypt, it was the first time that Christmas was observed as a national holiday in Egypt. One of Sweden's more unique Christmas traditions is a Yule goat made of straw, who is believed to help guard the Christmas tree. In the Swedish city of Galvel, the community has come together to build a 43-foot tall straw goat at the start of Advent every year since 1966. Unfortunately though, pranksters burning the goat has also become a tradition. In the 50-odd years, the Galvel goat has only lasted through the new year a dozen times. And according to Greek legend, malicious goblins would come up from their underground homes on December the 25th and would play tricks on humans until the 6th of January. You could get rid of them by burning logs or old shoes or hanging sausages or sweetmeats in the chimney. In the Czech Republic, Santa doesn't come on Christmas Day, but on St. Nicholas Eve, which is December the 5th. He asks the kids if they've been good all year, and if they have, he gives them a basket of presents, often containing chocolate and fruit. But if they've been naughty, then all they get is a lump of coal. Early illustrations of Santa Claus pictured him as a stern, commanding disciplinarian holding a birch rod. But the jolly old man that we know and love today was created by artist Haddon Sundblom from a Coca-Cola advert in 1931, when it's thought that he may have been paid $1,000 for each of his illustrations. And so, folks, if you don't want your pigs in blankets, or if you're fed up with any of the usual Christmas fare, how about some of South Africa's unusual festive dishes? Because every December, locals feast on a seasonal delicacy, deep-fried caterpillars of emperor moths. Yum! Well, I think I've just heard cries of yuck at the thought of the last item, and I don't know about you, but I'm going to stick to me turkey and roasties, Brussels and all the trimmings. Well, that's another conclusion that's left me feeling peckish again. So in the road up, I think I'll sign off, say bye for now, and I'll slope off and dunk a custard cream or two. Ta-ra a bit. Ta-ra.
Thank you for those facts, Roger. Amazing stuff. Now we have our seasonal feature, Mina's Christmas Cracker.
Hello, I'm Mina, and here are your Christmas cracker jokes to get you in the festive mood. What do you get if you cross Santa with a duck? A Christmas cracker! What does Santa suffer from if he gets stuck in a chimney? He gets claustrophobia. What kind of motorbike does Santa ride? A Holly Davidson. Why was the snowman looking through the carrots? He was picking his nose. And finally, why did no one bid for Rudolph and Blitzen on eBay? Because they were too dear.
Now we have our sportsman Ian giving you all the latest football news from Wolves and West Bromwich Albion.
Hello, I'm Ian, and here's your latest football news. An injury time strike from Divock Origi snatched a point away from Wolves after a battling display at Molineux. Coming into the game, the Merseyside club had scored 4 goals in each of their last 3 Premier League games and were in incredible form. And although they did miss some huge opportunities, Wolves fought valiantly and looked set to earn an impressive point. Mohamed Salah missed a first half sitter before former Wolves man Diogo Jota had a second half shot blocked on the line by Connor Cody, despite no goalkeeper being in place to stop him after a defensive mistake. But deep into added time, substitute Origi finished from close range to steal all 3 points in what was a cruel ending for the hosts. Speaking after the encounter, Large said, "The most important thing to say is that when we win together, and when we lose together. I think we had a solid performance, and then in extra time we cannot lose that ball the way we did. Our job and our strategy was to never give the transition to them. We need to be there every time, ready when we lose the ball, not to give the transition to them. If these guys have space, like what happened in this situation, they can create chances. I don't want to point to anyone. It's frustrating when I come into the dressing room and see my players' faces, because I think they deserve not to lose this game. It's a little bit disappointing. It's hard to lose that point, but me and the fans should be proud of our players." Wolves next face a trip to Man City this coming Saturday. Albion got their championship campaign back on track with a 2-1 win at Coventry. The Skye Blues entered the game having won more points at home this season than any other side in the division. The Baggies, meanwhile, had failed to win in their last four outings and failed to score in their last three. But an impressive first-half performance from Valerian Ismail's side saw them race into a two-goal lead thanks to a Carlin Grant strike and Kyle McFadzean own goal. A side who are very comfortable on the ball, Coventry put Albion under heavy pressure after the interval. Overall, though, Ismail's side coped with that pressure well. The hosts did pull a goal back in the 83rd minute when an unmarked McFadzean nodded in from a corner. Albion, though, had enough about them to see out the game in a professional manner, with the result moving them to within 6 points of second-placed Bournemouth. Speaking after the game, boss Ismail said, "I think the first thing to say is that we are back on track. It was important after the two draws, Blackpool and Nottingham Forest, to keep the momentum going with the performance and to add that last step with the win. Credit to Coventry, it's not an easy place to come and win." West Brom next take on Reading at the Hawthorns this coming Saturday.
Cheers for that roundup, Ian. Now we have the weather, brought to us by Mina.
The weather for this week ahead looks to be mostly wet and windy. However, temperatures will be mild for the time of year, hovering around 9 degrees. UV levels are expected to be low throughout the week. The sunrise and sunset times are 8:12 a.m. for the sunrise and 3:54 p.m. for the sunset. For Friday 10th of December, we have light rain and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 7 degrees. On Saturday 11th of December, we have light rain and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 11 degrees. Moving on to Sunday 12th of December, we have light rain and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 9 degrees. On Monday 13th and Tuesday 14th of December, it's light rain and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 7 degrees. And finally, on Wednesday 15th and Thursday 16th of December, we have light cloud and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 10 degrees. So that's your forecast for the week. As always, enjoy the weather.
Thanks for that, Mina. Up next, we have 10 Today. 10 Today is a series of 10-minute exercise sessions that can be done at home by anyone. New episodes will appear fortnightly.
Hello everyone, this is 10 Today, a 10-minute set of exercises to do at home to help keep yourself active. Before we get to today's presenter, a couple of housekeeping points to note. The 10 Today project is funded by the Big Lottery and Sport England, and when you're doing the exercises, it's important that you don't push yourself too far, and by taking part, you agree to 10 Today's terms and conditions. You can read these terms and conditions at tnflink.uk/10T, and the 10T is the digit 1, the digit 0, and the letter T. And please remember that you agree to take part at your own risk. Today's exercises are brought to you by Jeff, and here he is.
Hello everyone, welcome to 10 Today, broadcast number 4. This is a short 10-minute physical activity routine which will get you moving and stretching. It's great for your health, including improving your balance and building up your strength. Just take it at your own pace. There are plenty of options. If the exercise feels too much, just take it easy and have a break. All the exercises can be done either stood up or sitting down, so just do whatever feels good for you today. We want you to do all this exercise safely. You're responsible for monitoring how you feel throughout the sessions. If you feel any discomfort or pain, for example, if you feel unwell or dizzy or experience palpitations, then please stop and seek medical advice. Please remember, you agree to take part at your own risk. If remaining seated, at least to begin with, it would be ideal if you could use a hard chair that you could sit upright in, which could be a dining chair, preferably without arms, which can get in the way of some exercises. With your feet flat on the floor, if you are stood up, just step your feet hip-width apart, relax your shoulders, and stand up nice and tall. Take a couple of deep breaths. If you're sitting down, place both feet firmly on the floor, keep your back straight, relax your shoulders, and take a couple of deep breaths. In and out, in and out. So first we have lift and lower. Please remember all the movements can be achieved whether you're sitting or standing. Raise both your arms straight up together with your palms up. Now raise up on your toes and lower your toes back down, bringing your arms down at the same time. Then bend over gently without straining your back. And with your arms and legs straight if standing, or feet flat on the floor with your knees bent if sitting, swing your arms from side to side twice and come back up to stand or sit straight and take a breath. Now we are going to repeat that routine. So raise both arms straight up together with palms up. Raise up on your toes, then lower your toes back down, bringing your arms down at the same time. Then lean over gently, keeping legs and arms straight if standing, and feet flat on the floor, knees bent if sitting. And swing both arms from left to right twice, and return to a standing position. So keep going, lifting up and down, then bending over and swinging. Great work, everyone. This is a nice one just to get all those muscles nice and warm. Next up is straight out. So for this one, if you're standing, you might want to make sure you are near a chair for balance. And whether you're sitting or standing, please do not raise legs higher than hip level. Keeping your left leg soft, bend your right leg and lift your knee level to hip height. Now gently stretch out your right leg as straight as you can without straining. Then bend knee again and return your foot to the start position. Now do the same on the other side, bending your left leg and lifting your knee level to hip height. Now stretch out your left leg as straight as you can without straining. Then bend your knee again and return to the start position. Keep doing this on alternate legs, lifting knee up to hip height, stretching leg out and returning to the start position. This is a great one for working out those legs. The next one is called crunch for core. Bend your right arm and bring your right elbow towards your left knee, lifting the knee to reach your elbow. You should feel a nice crunch on your core, then release back down. If you are sitting and find it harder to lift the knee, bend your back and lean into it, or if that is uncomfortable, then you can tap your knee with your hand instead. Now do the same on the other side. So bend your left arm and bring your left elbow towards your right knee, or tap your hand on your knee and release. Whichever variation you are doing, you should feel that crunch in your core. Keep going on alternate sides. Just a few more now. This is a great workout for your tummy. We should all be feeling nice and warm now. The next one is called out and over. If you are standing, I recommend that you are near something that you can hold on to for balance, like a chair. So raise your right leg out straight in front of you. Then keep your leg straight and move it gently to the right side until you feel that nice stretch on the top of your leg. Then move it back to the centre and back down. Repeat this on the same leg. So raise your right leg out straight in front of you. Then keep your leg straight and gently move it to the right side, feeling that nice stretch. Then move your leg back down to the centre and back down. So raise straight out, to the side, back straight, and back down. And again, do that a couple of more times. This is really good for your hips, tummy, and thighs. Now we are going to do the same thing on your left leg. So you raise your left leg out and straight, then gently move it to the left side until you feel that nice stretch in the top of your leg. Then move it back to centre and back down. Remembering to keep that leg straight. So up, to the side, back straight and back down. A couple more times on this side now. Great work, everyone. Next up is full circle. Stand up nice and tall and keep your back straight. Raise both arms straight up above your head, then sweep them round to the right, making one big circle all the way back up to the top. And keep swinging, one big circle to the right, just a couple more in this direction. Now lower your hands, relax your shoulders and take a breath. Good work. Now we're going to do exactly the same, but in the opposite direction. So keep making those nice big circles. It's a great workout for your shoulders, this one. Now we have push up to moon. So keep your legs nice and soft. And if you're sitting, keep your feet nice and firmly on the ground. Bend your arms so both hands are at chest height. Then push both your hands together up into the air to your right, like you're pushing up on the moon. Then sweep your hands back down in front of your tummy and to the left, pushing both your hands up into the air again on your left. And now keep going. So you're just making a nice big U with your hands, pushing up the moon on either side. Just a couple more now. Really nice movement, this one. Next up is Slowly Does It. These are slightly different if you're sitting or standing. So if you're standing, keep your back straight, bend your knees slightly to your halfway point and hold. Then bend your knees all the way down to your lowest point and hold. And then straighten up your legs again. Remember to keep your feet facing forward and try not to let your knees move in front of your toes. So if you're just moving halfway, holding, moving down to your lowest point, holding, then coming back up, keep going. If you're sitting, just straighten out your right leg in front of you and hold briefly, feeling that nice stretch down your leg. Then return your foot to the floor and repeat on the other side. Whichever variation you're doing, you're working your legs. If you're standing, you're also working your bottom. Okay, so keep going. Always remembering, keep your back straight. So for those standing, bending knees down to your halfway point and hold. Then down to your lowest point, then hold, and then up. And sitting, raising your alternate legs and holding briefly. Good job, everyone. Next up is swing back. If you're standing, keep your legs straight. If you're sitting, keep your feet flat on the floor. Bend your arms so both hands are at chest height. Then straighten out your right arm and gently swing it back so you feel a nice rotation in your back. Looking towards your right hand, just take it as far as you feel comfortable. Then return to the center and straighten out your left arm and gently swing it back, looking towards your left side. And repeat. Keep your feet and hips facing forward, so you're just moving side to side, swinging your arms back nice and gently, feeling your back rotate as you move side to side. Just a couple more now. This is a great one for trunk rotation. Our last exercise today is Strike of the Cobra, a wee bit of martial arts. So if you're standing or sitting, keep your back straight and maintain a good stance. Clench your fists at chest height like you're a boxer. Then with your right hand, punch arms straight out and return. Then punch upwards towards the left-hand corner of the ceiling so your arm crosses over your body and return. Now do the same with the left hand. So punching straight forward, then punching upwards across the body towards the right and keep going. Really think about how your muscles are responding here, making the punches slow and controlled. Just a couple more now. Good job. Now we really should be feeling warm. If you're a little out of breath, that's a good thing. It means you've been working. If you're not a little out of breath, can you work a little harder next time? Anyway, nearly finished. We'll just finish off with a nice stretch and a cool down. So we're going to start with a hamstring stretch. So step forward with your right foot, placing your foot out in front of you with your foot flat on the floor. Then bend your left leg and put your hands on your hips and just lean forward gently. Whether you're sitting or standing, you should feel a nice stretch down the back of leg. Hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Then return a stood up position and swap your legs. So this time step forward with your left foot, placing your foot in front of you with your foot flat on the floor. Then bend your right leg and just lean forward gently. Again, feeling that nice long stretch. Hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And the final stretch, hugging a tree. Just hold your arms out in front of you, just like you are hugging a tree, directly in front of you. And your arms, they form a nice circle in front of you. And then cup your hands, putting one hand in front of the other and push your hands together, feeling that nice stretch across your shoulders and arms. Hold for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And return to that nice relaxed posture that we had at the beginning. Brilliant. So that was all the exercises. We hope you enjoyed them. Just to finish off, shake it out. So just shake those arms and hands, then legs and feet. Great work, everyone. Doing 10 today, just 3 times a week, can have great health benefits. It's fun, and you'll simply feel better. So keep going. 10 today is a Big Lottery and Sport England funded project. Thank you for listening.
Oh, thank you for that workout. Now we have the quiz answers, brought to us by Mina.
Hello, and here are your answers for this week's Christmas-themed flashback quiz. Are you ready? Question 1. Which country recognised Christmas for the first time in 2003? And the answer? Egypt. Question 2. What unusual animal is made in Sweden to guard the Christmas tree? And the answer here is their straw yule goat. Question 3. How can you get rid of malicious Greek goblins? And the answer here is by hanging sweets and other goodies in the chimney. Question 4. What is given to naughty children at Christmas by Saint Nicholas? And the answer here is a lump of coal. Question 5. When was the familiar image of Santa Claus created? And of course, it was 1931. And finally, question 6. Where in the world do they eat deep fried caterpillar at Christmas? And the answer here is South Africa. How did you do? Great, I hope. But if not, there's always another chance to have a go next week. Now, did you get the answer to this week's Guess the Sound question that Rob asked at the start of the show? Here's one more chance to hear it before I tell you the answer. The sound you just heard was a recording of a wind chime. Now, to end this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News, we hear from our very own Craig, who has for us some facts about Dudley.
Hello, I'm Craig, and as Dudley bids to become a city this week, I've got for you some facts all about Dudley. Well, I've done many reports for Castle in Dudley since the 7th century. It is generally thought that Dudley Castle was built in 1070 for William the Conqueror. Wren's Nest became Britain's first natural nature reserve for geology in 1956, and is arguably the most important geological site in Britain, dating back 425 million years. It is known around the world for its well-preserved coral reef fossils, and is said to be the most diverse and abundant fossil site in the British Isles. During the height of the Industrial Revolution, up to 20,000 tonnes of limestone were quarried each year from Wren's Ness, creating the famous Seven Sisters Tunnel Complex. In 2019, 7 million people visited Dudley, spending $534 million and supporting 8,255 seven jobs in the tourist sector. Gray's oval tablets have also been made in Dudley since 1826. The company in Hall Street is also a major producer of seaside rock. The Imlay Hall, built during the early 1600s, served for about 300 years as a secondary home to the Lords of Dudley and their knights. Its occupants included Dud Dudley, who in 1770 experimented in smelting iron ore with coal carried out nearby. The anchor for the Titanic was made in Dudley in 1911 by industrialist Noah Ringley. Once completed, the anchor was towed from Ingley's works in Everton Dudley rail station by 20 shire horses. Those are my facts about Dudley. Thank you for listening.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!